is a Capricorn FM podcast.
13 minutes before 8 o'clock on Progressive Talk. Let's look at the success story of the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of Black Business Council. He's actually born here in the province, that is Hanki Matabane, and we will be talking to him in a bit. Spoke to him some time ago, was interviewing him about a different matter altogether. It must have been months ago, and probably during the early stages of the lockdown when we spoke for the first time. And of course, so I got to find out more about him, got to know a bit about his background, the fact that he's also from the province. And so let's get to know him. Let's get to understand, at least have a very good picture of who the Chief Executive Officer and the Executive Director of the Black Business Council is. Mr. Matabane, good evening. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Good evening, and good evening to the listeners.
Good evening. And now, of course, we know you as the Chief Executive Officer and the Executive Director of the Black Business Council. I've seen, of course, you've had quite some roles, some directorship roles that you're now occupying in different establishments, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 there. So you're a very busy person in the business sector, Mr. Matabane.
Yeah, you are correct. I'm a bit busy, but you always find time to do things if you are ready for them.
Yeah.
So from my guru where I come from to here, I think that has prepared me to be able to multitask.
Mm.
And be able to try and achieve as much as I can, because I think the growing up in a hardship type of environment prepares you to make sure that you never drop the ball as a person. And I think also because I was a teacher when I was like 19, and I was like a temporary teacher or assistant teacher when I was 19, and some of the people that I was teaching were like 25, and everything at the back, they were like local area in class because I was teaching what was standard 6, 7, and 8. I was teaching math, economics, and accounting, and most of the students were scholars were older than me, and when we meet after school, the some of them would like to intimidate me because I was a bit tired as well.
Yeah, quite an experience. Let's zoom back into that that village. Where did you say you come from, by the way, here in the province?
Yeah, I come from Magurung in Kampashel, just next to the Bohom there.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where you. Yeah, but from being a teacher at 19, you went on and understand you have masters in business leadership and others. Maybe take us through your academic journey there.
Yeah, I was a teacher not in my group, but in my first that's how it was Bakersfield. And I think the reason why I went to teach was because after finishing my degree, I didn't have money to study further. So the teaching for a year actually helped me to save enough money to be able to pay for myself. So,
okay, I'm going to take an ad break and we'll continue from this point. Right, so you were saying, Mr. Matabane, you were able to save from teaching and that funded your exploits going forward academically.
Yes, I was actually inspired by Adrian and Auster and Mama Wolo, who stayed in Polokwane.
Mm.
And they inspired me to actually study. So what I did, I worked for 1 year. I saved money for that lasted me for one semester. And from there, I studied hard and then I got the bursaries from there. So I only paid for my first semester.
Mm.
I went to what was called Sotokara Technikon in Karangua and in 1993, unfortunately, because Sotokara was in what was called Buputatona, then we were checked out because we didn't have study permit and there were a lot of strikes there. So Then I went to just Technicon. Then that's where I completed my national diploma in cost and management accounting. Then I did my BTEC while I was working in Industrial Backup and Platinum. And yeah, I went from there. Then I did the postgraduate diploma at Gibbs. And then I did my MDL at UNISA. And I think it is mainly because of inspiration from a lot of people. I always made sure that I approach strangers to be my mentors. Mm. So I'll see someone in the papers or hear them on radio or see them in the annual report and I approach them. Some of the relationships worked, some of them didn't work, but I think that's part of life.
That is important you say that. Why do you think it's important to have a mentor?
Yeah, it's extremely, extremely important. So I've got different types of mentors. So I'll have mentors who are looking at academic. I'll have mentors who are looking at the community involvement. I'll have mentors who are just friends who are doing it on an informal basis to make sure that as friends also we keep on lifting up, lifting each other up. So I ask for different types of mentors, but it's important to always have mentors because that those must be people who are mainly doing better than you, so that you don't relax and say and think you are doing well. There are always people who are doing better than you, so I always target those type of people.
So you're at the helm of the Black Business Council. How did you rise in the business sector?
Yeah, I have worked mainly in this type of sector that we call organized business. Our job basically we call it economic diplomacy. So we are in what again we call it's not a political organization, but it deals with the politics of business. So BBC mainly deals with the lobbying and advocacy to ensure that Black people play a meaningful role in the economy. As you know, because of our history, Black people are still marginalized a lot. So my job basically is to monitor that transformation happens. And we did that through lobbying and through making sure that the legislation that gets passed in the country favors Black people. And I think that's why now we're busy with the legislation called the Public Procurement Bill to try and do away with what is called the triple PFA. I think most of the people who are doing business with the state will understand the impediment of triple PFA because it does not promote economic transformation at all. So that's one of the issues we're dealing with. On top of the 200 billion relief scheme that was announced by the president. So we also then were at NEDLAC where we were discussing economic policy. For example, the economic reconstruction and recovery plan was part of the team that was discussing it with the president.
What has been your mantra that has seen you rise up, that has assisted you as you go through your journey?
Yeah, firstly, I think I sort of learned a lot from my mother, who basically had tenacity and never give up type of attitude. So I sort of told myself I'm never going to give up. But also, I think the other thing is to separate between you, the person, and you, the position. Because you must know that most of the time, if you are holding a certain position, people are not necessarily calling you when they call you. They're calling the position helps you. So you need to be able to.
Also, I'm speaking to you because you're the CEO now. Essentially, which is a fair point.
So you must not confuse the two, because otherwise, then if you confuse the two, the other one, they just go into your head.
Yeah.
And you become big headed. So it's always important to separate between your true friends and the people who are acquaintances who are trying to socialize with you because of your position.
Do you mentor others, saying that you value mentors?
Yeah, I do have. So when I started, for example, at tertiary, because when I grew up, we didn't have career guidance. So I ran a career guidance association in Makurun for like five or so years. And we used to call people from higher education institutions, other institutions to come to Maguruma to come and give presentations, because most of the people in Maguruma are poor. They could not even afford to go to Polokwane for career guidance. So I started there, and I've been doing sort of mentoring different types of people for different careers. And some of them are doing much, much better than I do. But I think that's part of what we're supposed to do. When you get assisted by someone, you need to assist another person. And I think that's how we will grow each other as a nation.
What would you say to somebody from your home village that is listening to you, that is inspired by your work, your achievements?
Yeah, I think the important thing is to realize that anything is possible, but also seek advice from people who have been there so that you don't repeat their mistakes. When you see people in the village, approach them. As I said before, if you approach 10 people, 9 may not work, but that one that works may be your ticket to success.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. A wonderful evening to you.
Thanks very much.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.